Isn't it great to sing Alleluia again after a long Lent? To our parishioners, our guests, and especially to our elect, welcome to this magnificent occasion as we enter into the Easter mystery of our salvation and the future glory that we will share with our risen Lord. There are those now who hold to the thought that Christmas is the greatest celebration of our year. And of course, I would never argue that with anyone. But let me share with you a thought tonight that, for me, keeps Easter and Christmas in equal majesty. At Christmas, Christ comes to the world. At Easter, the world comes to Christ. It's dynamic tension, holding all humanity between the hands of God. The other day, I was at a new brewery up in Dayton, strictly as an observer. And while there, I saw a young man carrying kindling to the fireplace. And he carried the wood in an interesting way. He had a leather pad with a handle on either side, and he laid it on the ground. And when the wood was stacked on it, he took a handle in each hand, and as he lifted it, the wood was wrapped tightly and carried securely across the room. That's like Easter and Christmas, two handles of the church by which God carries humanity to heaven. We have some great people sitting here up front tonight seeking the sacraments of initiation, so I urge you after Mass to please let them know how joyful we are at their being here. I'd like to just share a quick thought tonight about each of the three sacraments of initiation. First, baptism. We just heard that amazing story of the Israelites walking on dry land through the sea with walls of water on each side. Can you imagine? And then Pharaoh and his army being swallowed up as God releases the waters. And you see this play out in the mind's eye. But there's something very interesting in the scripture verses just before what we heard tonight. The Israelites are trapped between the sea and Pharaoh's army, the most powerful army in the world of its time. There was death on both sides of them, and seemingly no escape. The Israelites, doing what they do so well, complained to God and to Moses, and they say that they were better off in the slavery of Egypt than dying out here in this desert. They couldn't begin to see what God was about to do, and so they had no confidence or trust, which seems strange to me. After witnessing all that God did to get them out of Egypt in the first place. But in response to their cry of fear and desperation, God tells them through Moses, "Turn and look at your enemy. After today, you will see them no more." And God saves his people and crushes their enemy. That's what baptism is. We are trapped between death and sin, and God defeats them both through the waters of life. The reading from Ezekiel that we heard is a good reminder to us of what is happening in the sacrament of confirmation. Listen to what God is saying. "I will prove the holiness of my name. I will prove my holiness through you. I will bring you out of the foreign land and bring you back to your own land." You see, for human beings, sin is a foreign land. We are created for holiness. To live holy lives with God is our land. God proves his own holiness by bringing us home. God says, I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you. Through his great love and holiness, God restores the human heart. Think about it. Is this any less miraculous a deed than parting the Red Sea to change the human heart? This is confirmation. A changed and renewed heart returning to God. And why? Because God says, you will be my people, and I will be your God. In confirmation, we serve the holy God wherever we are. It's in the spiritual gift that he gives us, each individually, that we are able to serve him in this human life. With regard to the sacrament of the Eucharist, let me offer a word of consideration. Remember. We usually look at remembering as simply recalling past events. We might remember answers on a test. We might remember to feed the dog. We might remember to put out the cat. We might remember that our graduation occurred on a particular date. But in the Jewish sense, and therefore in the Catholic sense, to remember is much more than that. It's to re-enter what has already occurred. It's to become part of something again. If you have seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, you may recall that it opens on an old man, a veteran, walking through a graveyard, and then he stops at the grave of another man who gave his own life to save him. The old man enters once more the horrific invasion on D-Day. He lives again all that took place in those few days. He doesn't just recall it. He lives it again internally, and it is so real to him that he weeps, especially at the ultimate sacrifice offered on his behalf. This is our Eucharist. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," and he meant it in that sense. At every Eucharist, we gather and we enter again the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We walk with him from Gethsemane to Calvary. And it should bring us to great emotion. And it should boost our faith as we experience again what he does and what he endures out of love for us. Also tonight, we remember his resurrection and just what an empty tomb can mean for us. Incomparable joy in the new life that we are given. I pray that not only our first receivers, but all of us who receive Holy Communion tonight will be more like the women in our gospel when the angel says, remember what he said. In their remembering, they found their joy. These are our sacraments. This is our life in the sacraments as we turn to look at the enemy and know with certainty that we need not fear him anymore, for we are delivered. Praise to God the Father who loves us infinitely and intensely. Praise to Jesus Christ in his resurrection and in His Eucharist. And praise to the Holy Spirit of God who stands by us as we trust in the great mystery of God that unfolds around us.